You're listening to The Jabcast with your hosts, Jared Emmel.
Me and Your Mama by Childish Gambino. That build up. That's all I'm going to do because I just started embarrassing myself.
Ben Wayman.
And I'm going to be honest, I have no idea what this next album is that we're going to talk about.
And producer, Alec Krauss.
But yeah, I'm very proud of myself.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Jabcast.
I feel like I can't hear myself in my headphones for some reason. I'm going to turn me up. Turn me up some.
While you're figuring that out, I'll give everyone a quick weather update.
Yes, it's cold.
I don't know if anyone's looked out the window or been outside today, but it snowed a little bit more last night into this morning, and it still is. On my way here, it was snowing, so just about 20 minutes ago. Well, a couple days ago, I was thinking, how do they plow the highways? And how do they do it so well? On my way home from class last night, which is like a little after 6, there were already plows waiting on the highway to plow once it started. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
That's common knowledge?
Yeah, it kind of is.
I didn't know that. They're like, because I saw two sitting there, one off an exit and one on an entrance ramp. And I was like, whoa, they're probably waiting for the snow.
Probably.
That's always cool. All right. I literally thought that was Ben chiming in, which is weird because that's my own voice.
Nope.
I'm
still building the folder of everything. Great. This one, I have this one of Ben.
You gonna cry?
I've got child support.
That's another one.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. Well, before Alec just starts playing with sound bites, why don't we dive into some movie news?
Yeah.
We got some casting news. First one is a rumor. Jason Momoa is rumored to be offered the role of Knuckles, the Echidna, in Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which was just announced to be coming to theaters April 8th, 2022.
Nice.
I think this is a fantastic casting.
You do?
Knuckles is like the brute character. I don't want to say like a Hulk, but he'd kind of be the Hulk of the team. His name's Knuckles. He's got spikes on his knuckles, and he likes breaking things. Jason Momoa is a very chaotic character. He's got a great voice for it. I think if that ends up being true, I'll be very excited. Next up, two new casting announcements for the upcoming Borderlands video game franchise movie. Jamie Lee Curtis and Jack Black are set to play Dr. Patricia Tannis and Claptrap, respectively. I am not overly familiar with these games. I think Ben is more so than me, so he could shed some light on this maybe when he comes by later. I do know Claptrap. He's kind of the mascot of the series, if you will. He's a little robot that's intentionally supposed to be very annoying. Not a big fan of the character from the game, but if anyone were to play a character that's supposed to be annoying and somehow still be charming, I think Jack Black's going to do that pretty well. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this.
Black is the number one actor of the Jabcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true.
I think he is. We have so much fun talking.
How could you
about
not like
him.
Jack Black?
I don't know.
He's
especially
so fun.
His TikTok.
Oh my God.
If you have TikTok, or even if you don't, I suggest you get it and only follow Jack Black. Just him.
Yeah. He. I follow him on Instagram, and he posts a lot of funny videos. Did you see the one I sent the other day of him in the thong doing Thor stuff? Very body positive.
Yes, he is.
Love him. Love it. Yeah, how could you not like Jack Black? Moving on. More casting. J.K. Simmons joins the cast of Aaron Sorkin's movie Being the Ricardos as William Frawley, who is a fellow cast member from the show I Love Lucy way back, I don't know, 50s, 60s. And this movie will be following the relationship between Desi Arnaz, played by Javier Bardem, and Lucille Ball, played by Nicole Kidman. William Frawley, like I said, is another fellow cast member to Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. J.K. Simmons is a fantastic actor, along with Javier Bardem and Nicole Kidman as well. So, never saw this show. I don't know if you have, Alec.
No.
I'm sure you've heard of it. Very popular.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it in Lou's class, the three-camera sitcom.
Yeah.
What started it all. Very excited for this, just to see a little bit of the history of that pretty transformative show and really talented cast as well. Next up, here at the Jabcast, we've been following David Leitch's movie Bullet Train for a while because it seems like they just keep throwing actors on it over and over again. And we now have another one. Sandra Bullock has joined Brad Pitt, Joey King, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Brian Tyree Henry, Lady Gaga, Zazie Beetz, Michael Shannon, Logan Lerman, Masi Oka, and Andrew Koji in this movie. For those that have forgotten what it's about, however many times I talked about it, it is a bunch of assassins trying to kill each other on a super fast train. I don't know if it's one train. It might be multiple trains running next to each other. I'm sure some of, like, sniper rifles, knives, poison, all that fun stuff. Sounds ridiculous. The cast is ridiculous. I'm excited for it. Next up, another big ensemble cast for a movie I am definitely not excited for, and I'll tell you why in just a second. The cast so far is Pedro Pascal, Karen Gillan, Maria Bakalova, Iris Apatow, Fred Armisen, David Duchovny, Keegan-Michael Key, Leslie Mann, and Peter Serafinowicz in Netflix's The Bubble. It's about a group of actors in a pandemic bubble set up in a hotel while shooting a movie. I talked about Lockdown, I think, last show, maybe the show before, and I expressed my feelings about why pandemic movies suck, why they're being made by actors sucks. And this is going to suck. It's going to be the same exact type of thing. Pandering to people that have already been through this struggle in the pandemic by people who have never been in the struggle. Granted, this is obviously specifically about an actor's struggle, but I think we can all agree that an actor's struggle shies in comparison to your average citizen. So I'm not really sure who this is made for, much like what I said about Lockdown. Next up, again, talking more about Spider-Man 3, Tom Holland has added some more details on the movie. He has denied both Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire's appearances in the upcoming Spider-Man sequel, saying, quote, "Unless they have hidden the most massive piece of information from me, which I think is too big of a secret for them to keep from me, but as of yet, no, he does not think that the two of them are in the movie." He also stated about the story, "I honestly have no idea what this film is about, and I'm 8 weeks into shooting it." That is very Tom Holland and very Marvel at the same time. He has accidentally spoiled a few things Marvel-wise several times over the years, and Marvel's pretty tight-lipped as far as their production goes. I was telling the guys, when they were shooting Infinity War and Endgame, there were only 3 iPads that had the full script for both movies connected, obviously, for people to read. And that was only ever given to the directors, the writers, Kevin Feige. And the only actor to get it was Doctor Strange. Benedict Cumberbatch. They're just so chameleonic in their roles. I just see them as the same person.
They are the same person.
Yeah. But yeah, what is that? 6 people that had access to the entire script from beginning to end. That's not a lot. And that's obviously very intentional because of people like Tom. But yeah, not sure what's going to happen with the Spider-Man movie. I know a lot of news lately, people have really just been thinking it's set in stone that the multiverse stuff was happening and Andrew and Toby were both coming back to play their own versions of Peter Parker. But I guess we'll see. Maybe Tom literally just doesn't know. Maybe he's lying. We shall see in the near future. That comes out on my birthday at the end of this year, December 17th. Next up, one of my favorite actors. So this is some pretty sad news for me, but I do think it's necessary. He's no longer part of his talent agency. I'm talking about Shia LaBeouf. He has severed ties with his agency, CAA, and is currently receiving treatment at an inpatient facility. Some news came out a month, maybe 2 months ago at this point, that he was in a abusive relationship with singer-songwriter FKA Twigs. She came out and spoke out about it. He did not deny it, owned up to it, said he's a very damaged person, which he is. If you've seen Honey Boy, you know his past. Very tragic, but that doesn't excuse his behavior, obviously. I don't condone it. No one should. And he's seeking help, and that's the best thing we can hope for in this scenario, that he gets better. I would highly doubt we ever see him in a movie or anything again. I guess he's canceled, if you want to use that word, but maybe this is for the best. A lot of his issues from life have stemmed from entertainment, have stemmed from being a celebrity, being in stardom, being in the spotlight. So maybe some time off to self-reflect, pursue other paths might do him some good. Next up, Disney just closed the old Fox Animation Studio, Blue Sky Studios. This was famous for the Ice Age franchise, the two Rio movies, and the movie Robots from a long time ago now. That was one of my favorites growing up. Did you see that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Robin Williams, yep. Ewan McGregor, lots of people. Amanda Bynes. Yeah.
The Amanda Show.
Yeah.
Amanda.
Yeah, this is, I really liked, well, okay. I liked the first four Ice Ages. I think there's six now.
Jesus.
No, five or six. One of them, the last one, they went to space. I did not see that one.
Ice Age in space.
Yeah, there's the first one. There's Ice Age Meltdown, which I think is number two. Dawn of the Dinosaurs, number three. Continental Drift, I believe, is number four. And I guess that would make the space one number five, unless I'm forgetting one. But yeah, they like literally, they encounter an alien and a UFO. So kind of checked out at that point. Next up, Alec added this to the outline, and it would not have even hit my radar for some reason if he didn't bring it up. So I'm glad he did, because this is a good topic of discussion.
Yeah.
The film footage released on Disney Plus of the 2016 play Hamilton has been nominated for Best Picture in a Musical or Comedy at the 2021 Golden Globes, and star Lin-Manuel Miranda has been nominated for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy. And the reason this is so bizarre is it's not really a movie. It's footage of a play.
Yep.
It's already won all the Tonys it could possibly win at the 2016, 2017, whatever, Tony Awards.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this. I don't know the eligibility rules for the Golden Globes. I think they differ from like the Globes to the, you know, the Emmys and the Oscars and such, but... Yeah, this is bizarre. I have not seen the play.
And the fact that it was filmed in 2016.
Yeah.
That throws it off, too.
That should disqualify it alone, I think.
As I agree.
But I don't know. You've seen this.
Yes, I have.
Not in person.
No, not in person. Yeah. I watched the Disney Plus version.
Yeah.
Which is the 2016 play released.
Did it feel like a movie, or did it just feel like film footage, like something we could shoot in advanced production?
It felt... Now, my sister watched it in, like, on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. She got to, I think she saw Hamilton. She did, she's watched, I think, two or three Broadway plays. Wow. Like, she likes it.
Yeah.
But, I think this was filmed with no audience. I think it was.
This version.
I think the 2016, in 2016, I think they filmed it with no audience to try to get tighter shots.
I think they
filmed it with no audience to enhance the filming of the play, but it still looked like it kind of looked like a three camera shoot with a jig.
Gotcha.
That's okay. Kind of what it looked like.
Yeah.
I don't know. We can come back to it. I'll text Abigail and see if she's seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it for news. I'll dive into what I've watched. I'm the only person on the outline that's logged some movies, as I can see. So first up, Ben was talking about one of the Studio Ghibli movies from a few years ago now. I don't remember the name. But I actually just watched the most recent one that just came out on HBO Max called Hedwig. It's actually called Earwig and the Witch. I wrote Hedwig. I guess I have Harry Potter in my head. It's Earwig and the Witch, and it's about... a little girl who you find out, not this is not a spoiler, very early in the movie that she is the daughter of a witch, and she gets dropped off in an orphanage and grows up there. They name her Earwig. They find there's like a cassette tape that was left with her at the front doorstep of the orphanage that said Earwig on it, so they named her Earwig. Well, they thought her name was Earwig. They named her Erica. Whatever. That's digressing. And she ends up getting adopted by, you guessed it, a witch, and a guy that's called the Mandrake, which I guess is also like a male witch for all intents and purposes. I know a Mandrake isn't, but his title in the movie was the Mandrake, but I think he's basically just like a male witch. But regardless, she goes and lives with them, and she starts learning some witch spells, I guess. This movie is like an hour and 25 minutes, and it ends so abruptly, without going anywhere at all. they tease so many different plot points and storylines, and they don't conclude any of them. The movie ended, and I thought HBO Max glitched, and I thought it skipped to the credits. It literally felt like the climax of the movie, but it was the end. It feels like an incomplete movie, and that's because it most likely is. It essentially is. The reason because of that is it's based off of a novel, and the author passed away before they could finish the book. So they got the film adaptation rights for this book and just wrote the movie for what was written and didn't conclude it. Instead of, you know, giving a proper conclusion to the story that didn't get finished, they just left the movie off right where the writing left off, which makes no sense from a storytelling perspective. I don't know why you'd bother making a movie like that to quite literally give an incomplete story. I don't get the point of it. This is also Studio Ghibli's first 3D animation, and I have to say it was very awkward. Wasn't the best animation I've seen even in the last 10 years. And obviously it's a Japanese-produced movie, so there were American dubs with some pretty talented American voices that you'd recognize. Richard E. Grant, Casey Musgraves had a voice role as a recurring person who was in a band singing, so she essentially sang the theme song for the movie that showed up a couple times. But something about 3D animated mouths with the dubs, I think there's a saying in the anime community, which admittedly I am not that big a part of, but the saying is subs, not dubs. So you'd rather do subtitles with Japanese audio than do the American English dubbing. But whatever. Yeah, I would not recommend it. It just felt very jarring and incomplete. On the flip side, movie I very much enjoyed that I just watched last night was last year's movie Freaky. It's essentially a mix between Friday the 13th and Freaky Friday. Catherine Newton is a senior in high school, and there's a mass murderer played by Vince Vaughn running around town. He comes into possession of it's like an Aztecan knife, and he tries to kill Catherine Newton's character, and when he stabs her, they end up switching consciousnesses. So he's now in control of her body, she's in control of his body. It's very funny, very graphic, and very gory. It was channeling B-movie horror movies. Really made me laugh, really made me wince at the gore. Oh my god, it's disgusting, but it's great. And I will never stop laughing at what they do in movies that they've really been doing a lot recently. I think it started with the first Jumanji. Or I guess the second Jumanji, technically, with Jack Black.
the first Jumanji with Jack Black.
Yeah. When it was a girl inside of Jack Black's body, and so we get to see Jack Black pretending to be a girl. He's running like a girl.
He was amazing. Screaming.
Yeah. So it's the same thing with Vince Vaughn. He's like pretending to be an 18-year-old girl stuck in the body of like Vince Vaughn, who I think is like 6'5". So
yeah, I think he is.
It's hysterical. I would really recommend it. It just went on video on demand, so you can rent it for a couple bucks. I think it's worth the money. What's coming soon, movie-wise, one of Ben's favorite movies on Netflix. They're now rounding out the trilogy. It's called To All the Boys, Always and Forever. That comes out tomorrow. Movie I'm really looking forward to, Judas and the Black Messiah. It's about the Black Panther Party in the 1960s. Also centered around the time of the trial of the Chicago 7, which was another movie that we all really liked.
Yes, we did.
Time out.
No, it's not Ben. However, it is our Hamilton expert.
Here we go. Let's hear it.
Let's see. Can you hear us?
What's up?
It's very windy.
What?
It's very windy.
It is windy. What's up?
So, me and Jared, you're on air, by the way.
Hi.
Oh.
Say hello to the radio waves, Abigail.
Hello, radio waves.
Yeah, so Jared and I mentioned the fact that Hamilton has been nominated for best for a Golden Globe for Best Picture and for a musical / comedy for the 2021 Golden Globes, even though Hamilton was filmed in 2016. So, did you see Hamilton on like live?
No, I haven't.
Just what Broadway plays did you see?
I've seen Phantom of the Opera. I've seen Les Miserables. I've seen Hello, Dolly. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And she's been in plenty.
Oh, very yeah. Awesome.
Oh, and I've seen Wicked too.
She's seen Wicked too. So Jared asked me if it seemed like it was the way it was filmed was for camera, or if it was filmed more like it was a play. So I wanted to get your opinion since you've seen more plays and you have been in plays, so you understand it a little bit more than we would.
I'm not sure. I think they definitely refilmed it. So I think it may have been filmed for TV, but from what I've heard from people who have actually seen it, it is very true to what it was live. So it's kind of hard to redo a play exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So that's where it kind of gets twisted.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair that this gets nominated for a 2021 award, even though it wasn't filmed in 20? Like,
I mean, I think it deserves awards because I loved it.
It has won. Jared said it's won every Tony it possibly can, which is four plays. Do you think it should be nominated for a Golden Globe because that's for film and movies?
I think it should because, in my opinion, there wasn't really anything that were like outstanding plays, musicals that were produced this year and like, shown out.
Like Cats.
Like Cats.
That was not good.
It was bad.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, and did you want to ask her about her hat thing while we have her?
Oh, yeah.
Because we were talking about the chef stuff last week.
Yeah, like the different tiers of the chef hat. Alec was trying to explain it to me.
Okay, so when you start out, so here at lovely Johnson & Wales University, shout out to JWU, you start out with what's called a skull cap. So the hat goes straight against your head.
Okay.
Which is basically like the lowest you can be. So then after that, your sophomore year, you get one that's got just a little bit more room, showing that you've moved up the ladder. And then your junior and senior year, you get what, it's easier to describe them as the Ratatouille hats. So you the high hat. And that shows that you've earned your, it's basically like earning your stripes. You go up and up and up.
Gotcha.
And then the folds on the side of the hat symbolize the many ways a chef can make an egg.
Ah, okay. I like that. Very cool.
Fun trivia fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Yeah. So, per Broadway buff Abigail, it's fine and it should have a Golden Globe.
There we go.
If it's nominated.
Definitely. Lin-Manuel Miranda is amazing.
Now, I've also heard that he isn't the best actor in that play. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
So who is? Who should
David
be?
Diggs,
who
David
should?
David Diggs deserves everything in the world that man can get. Whatever people give him, he gets. Because David Diggs is amazing.
It's a shame Ben's not on here.
He would agree with you.
David Diggs. We'll have to tell him that once he gets on.
Yeah, we will. He's in class right now. So you're taking his spot right now.
Oh, heck yeah. Here I come.
Awesome. Well, I think that is all the questions we had for you today.
Thank you, kind sir.
Thank you very much, Abigail.
Thank you.
Bye.
Wow, we had a guest.
That was cool. Look at that.
It's been a while. It feels good to have a guest on again.
Yeah, it does. Makes us feel important again.
Yeah, it does.
Where was I? Yeah, so Judas and the Black Messiah. That comes out tomorrow on HBO Max. I'll definitely be watching that tomorrow night. I'm super excited for this movie. St. Maud, this is an A24 horror movie. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. The release has been so scattered. It actually came out in like 2019, but it hasn't touched American soil until tomorrow. So very excited for that as well. You can rent that on video on demand or through Epics for free if you have that service. We also have Land, which is Robin Wright's directorial debut. She also stars in it. That's coming out tomorrow, video on demand as well. Music, directed by the musical artist Sia, about a nonverbal autistic girl. That also comes out tomorrow on video on demand. The World to Come, starring Vanessa Kirby from Pieces of a Woman, which is that movie that I watched not too long ago that I absolutely loved, tomorrow on video on demand. And a movie that's highly inspired by Five Nights at Freddy's, the video game where the animatronic Chuck E. Cheese looking guys are trying to kill you. It's a movie basically that with Nick Cage fighting them. It's called Willy's Wonderland, and that comes out tomorrow on Video On Demand.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
You going to watch that?
Oh. No.
I think I will. Maybe not soon, but if it, especially if, like, because you have to pay right now, but if I see if it's for, like, a dollar.
Yeah.
Definitely.
There's a lot of movies that, like, that I see that are coming out on, like, streaming or on Video On Demand. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to rent these movies.
Yeah.
I'd rather just wait till they're free, or if they do move to a streaming service that I already have.
Yeah. Yep. It's a weird time right now. I'm going to stand up because this seat already hurts.
Yeah. I mean, they are, like, the most comfortable chair in the world we have in studio here.
Yeah. So, and also, I'm getting pumped for TV news. Oh, let's get into it. So as you, everyone knows,
we are running the first one. Actually, is the first point or points you have here are a little weird.
Yeah, definitely. First up, I don't know if anyone has heard, but the Super Bowl happened last Sunday. Was that last Sunday or two Sundays ago?
I don't know, because I don't care.
Oh, okay. I think it was last Sunday.
Yes, it was.
So that was Super Bowl 55 LV, how it's stylized. And that pulled the lowest ratings on TV since 2007.
Well, getting a little choked up.
Yeah,
no,
that was actually a hiccup. I ate too much beef jerky before I came here.
I want to know what your opinion is on the, like, the logo design of the Super Bowl.
I thought
it was horrible because it was L Lombardi Trophy V.
Yeah, so I thought
which
it was
54. I thought.
Yep.
And same, it was, I didn't like it.
Yeah, because I wrote it in the outline. I wrote LIV.
Yep.
For a little bit, and then I was like, "Oh, that's not right."
Yeah, I know it was. And before, and it all started with Super Bowl 50.
Yeah.
Because when they did 50, they didn't want to just have Super Bowl L.
Yeah.
Because that does not look great. But they put the Lombardi Trophy in between the 5 and the 0, which makes sense. It looked it looked nice. And before that, they had the Roman numerals with like a kind of like a platform over top of it with the Lombardi Trophy on top.
Yeah.
That's what it's been literally forever.
Yeah.
And then Super Bowl 50, and then now they just keep putting the Lombardi Trophy in the middle, and it looks like it's part of the Roman numerals, which throws it all off.
Yeah, very annoying. I agree.
I think they should either use it or move it.
I think I think they're relying on the fact that a lot of people don't know how to read Roman numerals.
I think so as well.
But yeah, I agree with you. I was thrown off by that as well. Next up, also dealing with the Super Bowl, I'm sure a lot of people remember the streaker. His name was Yuri Andrade, I guess. He placed a $50,000 prop bet at plus 750. Don't know what plus 750 means.
It basically means you turn $100 into $750.
Okay.
So every $100 of that 50K turns into $750.
Well, that makes sense looking at the numbers now. So he, $50,000 prop bet at plus 750 that there would be a streaker at the game. And after being arrested and paying $1,000 bail to get out of jail, he cashed in his bet for $375,000 for that night. And you can correct me on my math if I'm wrong here, but I think that totals for a profit of $374,000.
Net profit.
That's insane.
Yep. Smart guy.
I don't know how much he paid for the ticket, but I know it wasn't that much. So he still made, like, he went home with several hundred thousand dollars with a little bit of infamy, better or worse.
I know.
Would you have done this?
Probably not. I probably would have gotten scared.
Really?
Or I probably would have told somebody who I know would have no problem doing it that I would pay the bail and give him part of the profit.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's part of it, too. He had an accomplice, his buddy. Had to pretend that he was going to go streaking first to distract the security guards. So these two guys tackled him, which opened the gate for Yuri to run right in.
Nice.
Yeah, so they probably did split it.
I mean, I feel like, especially now, like, you see streakers and fan interference less and less.
Yeah.
Because security is just unmatched.
Yeah, so this is a pretty smart move. Yeah, and he made a lot of money. My dad was getting nitpicky about it because he was like, and I guess this is true, he technically didn't streak because he was still clothed, but
he had a women's one piece on.
Yeah.
So he was He was not visually appealing to people.
Yeah.
If that's how we should put it.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, man. Maybe we'll do that next year.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan. You, me, and Ben.
Yeah.
And we'll put all $2 that we have on it.
Yeah, next up, The Mandalorian.
This one sucks.
Yeah, just got into some hot water. The resident actress Gina Carano, who plays Cara Dune on the show, was just fired this morning by Disney after a slew of controversial social media posts made by her, with the hashtag Fire Gina Carano going viral worldwide yesterday. And her agency, UTA, just severed their ties with her today as well. I'll get into it. What she said, there's a lot.
Yeah.
The thing that was the last straw was she shared a post comparing being a Republican to being a Jewish person in the Holocaust. Yeah. Abhorrent, disgusting.
Wrong.
Yeah, just don't do that. She shared some QAnon theories, some alt-right things, some anti-mask things. So she's in that entire crackpot side of the political spectrum, yeah. Unfortunately.
I can understand some of the like anti-mask things, I guess, but comparing a political party in one of the freest countries in the world to a terrible, terrible event that happened in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Not even remotely similar.
The comparison specifically, it was something like, you know, when people were getting killed over in Europe during World War II.
The post has been deleted, I believe.
Probably, yeah.
I would hope.
It wasn't the military. It wasn't the police doing it. It was your neighbors. It was your friends. It was blah, blah, it was this and that. And it showed someone with the Star of David getting attacked by someone else. And she, as you can tell from her other previous posts, is very obviously alt-right. That's unfortunate. The only silver lining here, I guess, if you can really consider it that, is she wasn't really important to any plot, so they can just say she's not showing up anymore. They don't have to write her out of the story with an untimely death or something like that, or recast her. She just won't show up, and it'd be fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm not positive, but I did read somewhere that they were planning to make a series with her.
Yes, that was true. Yeah, they were going to announce a show for her on Disney Investors Day back in December, but they canceled that because of what she was posting. And then yesterday's post about the Holocaust thing was the final straw. It's sad it had to get there. It's sad that she just didn't realize it. She put her misguided beliefs over her career, and also over the just the decency towards other people. She's denying people their humanity by saying things like that. Really sad, but yeah. Next up, on a lighter note, something I'm very excited for. Fox just greenlit a new animated series from Dan Harmon. He's one of the co-creators of Rick and Morty as well as Community. And it's following a family of humans, gods, and monsters in ancient Greece trying to run one of the world's first cities. It does not have a title yet. I'm very excited for this. I love Rick and Morty. I think it's got a great, just comedic style to it. I love the animation as well. And I love Greek mythology. And I think this nuclear family type thing that it sounds like they're trying to build with, you know, gods, monsters, creatures, things like that. I think it's going to be really fun. I really like Dan Harmon. Next up, another piece of animation, an animated Scooby-Doo prequel series targeted at adults is in development for HBO Max, following the origin story of Velma, voiced by Minnie Kaling. Now, Alec, do you like Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted an origin story for Velma?
No.
Have you ever wanted an origin story for anyone from the crew?
No, not really.
Yeah, I think that sentiment is shared by most people. I don't really get the point of this.
I feel like their origin is kind of like in all of their things.
We got an origin of sorts. I used to watch it. There's a show of the Mystery Crew as children. Did you ever watch that?
No.
I forget what it was. Mystery Crew as kids show. They are called the Mystery Crew, right? Oh yeah, Scooby Doo. Yeah,
I don't know if they were the Mystery Crew, but the van was the Mystery Machine.
Yeah. Yeah, look that up for me. Like Young Scooby Doo show. But yeah, I don't really get the point of this. The fact that it's adult oriented is also a little weird because I think the Scooby Doo franchise is directed towards children.
It's called A Pup Named Scooby Doo.
A Pup Named Scooby Doo.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was on. I think it was on Cartoon Network.
A Pup Named Scooby.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it now on Amazon Prime. It was an American animated mystery comedy series. And it's the eighth incarnation of the studio's Scooby-Doo franchise.
Wow.
It depicts younger versions of the title characters, and its human companions as they solve mysteries, similar to the original television series.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, this isn't even an origin. It's the same thing. Yeah, they're just younger.
Yeah, and that's my thing. You don't really need an origin. You can show them when they're young, but we don't, like, Velma doesn't become Velma like Bruce Wayne becomes Batman, you know?
Yeah.
She didn't just, like, fall into a vat of gasoline and get poor vision and grew an orange turtleneck. Like, that's just her. But whatever.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, you might be able to make, like, one short movie about how they all met.
Yeah. And I think they did that in Scoob.
They may have.
That's when Shaggy and Scooby first met.
That was when those two first met. I don't think the other ones
but I'm
came
saying,
into it.
Like, do it like Avengers style.
Yeah.
They all have their little arc in the movie. Yeah. But yeah, this is bizarre.
That's really the only thing I could think of. Because after reading through this, it doesn't even say.
Yeah.
Like, give like a synopsis of the whole show.
Yeah.
Of course, I am on Wikipedia. So that might be another reason why. But
also, Minnie Kaling is not who I would have picked to voice Velma. Linda Cardellini, who played her in the live-action movies, I think is a great Velma voice. They should have just gone with her, but whatever. Also, over on HBO Max, we finally got the casting of Joel and Ellie for HBO's The Last of Us show. Pedro Pascal, who is the Mandalorian, which is really great. I think this is a good casting. He's kind of falling into this weirdly specific typecast as the lone wolf turned surrogate father. That's mm-hmm. what's going to happen here with Joel and Ellie, and that's obviously what we've already seen in The Mandalorian. So good for him. He's a great guy, great actor. I'm excited to see it. And then Ellie will be played by Bella Ramsey, who was in His Dark Materials Season 2 for a little bit, as well as the head of the Mormont house in Game of Thrones. I think it's Mormont. Bella Ramsey. Yeah, Lyanna Mormont from Game of Thrones. So she was a young child running a little house, ended up dying. Spoilers, but it's Game of Thrones, so not really. but yeah, she's great. A little young, I think, but I think by the time the show starts shooting, she'll probably be Ellie's age during the game. So that's good. Yeah, so I guess that is it for news. We can dive into what I've been watching. I checked out a little five-episode show on Netflix called, it's French, so pardon my annoying French pronunciation here, but I'm trying my best. It's called Lupin, which is spelled L-U-P-I-N, so you can just say Lupin. I'm going to keep saying Lupin just to be annoying. But it's about a guy named Arsène, who goes by the name Lupin, who's an old... like thief. He's like a gentleman's thief. He's really respectful, kind of like a Robin Hood, I guess, if that's how you want to look at it. And Lupin wrote this whole book about it. And
Listen, I'm going to cut your mic if you do it again.
Okay. So yeah, he's inspired by this guy, and he's trying to clear the name of his father, who was falsely accused for stealing something 25 years ago. So Arsène's become this really, really talented thief. What do you call it? Disguise, like guy that disguises himself. There's a word for that I've forgotten.
a disguise.
I almost said discuse. I just like made a name up. And I was like, yeah, he's a discuse. And I was like, no one knows what that is because that's not real.
A shapeshifter?
Maybe, but like not literally.
I don't know.
But yeah, like he like just blends into society. He like plays all these different characters just to get to different places. The first episode opens up with him breaking into the Louvre to steal something. Very cool. Like I said, it's only 5 episodes. Part 2 was just announced for July, so we'll be getting that soon. I really enjoyed it. I will say, though, I have no problem with watching like foreign language things at this point, but the show just made me realize how much I hate French as a language. It just doesn't sound like words to me. And like I was just making fun of it, going, Lupin, also? Like, that's how they say it, and I just don't understand how those are words, but that's why it's not my native language like English is, so... But yeah, if you can get past that that foreign language roadblock, I'd really recommend it. It's a lot of fun. It's very cheesy, really tongue-in-cheek. It's got just as much comedy as it does intrigue with the thriller heist aspect of it. But yeah, really looking forward to part 2. They built up a lot of cool stuff. I also watched the Great North sneak previews. These are 2 little episodes of a show from the Bob's Burgers creators. This is now show number 3 from this crew. This is about a family living in Alaska. And they just get into Alaskan antics. That's the best way I can explain it. They're, you know, they fought a moose at one point. They were going, oh my God, snowmobiling? Forgot the word for a second. Yeah, it's okay. It was a sneak preview. It was not very refined. You could tell the animation style is not up to par with what we've seen from Bob's Burgers or Central Park. But I think since those were the pilots and it's now received 2 full season orders, I think the next couple episodes we'll see are going to be better. The first official episode, I guess, technically outside of these sneak previews airs this Sunday, so I'll be checking that out. It also airs right after the return of Bob's Burgers for season 11, so I'll have back-to-back Bob's Burgers type animation for myself. So
yay,
fun Mondays for me. Yeah. As far as what's coming soon, I did just say The Great North. That's coming out Sunday the 14th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Right before that, you can catch American Idol, season 19.
Yeah, Ben's gonna be on it.
Yeah, oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Everyone who's a huge fan of the Jobcast, make sure you watch and vote for Ben.
Yes, please. That comes out Sunday the 14th at 8 p.m. Eastern on ABC. I kind of worked backwards here just because I mentioned The Great North first. Next, tomorrow, we have Hip Hop Uncovered, which is like the beginning of a little documentary-type series, comes out 10 p.m. Eastern on FX. And then tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on CBS, is the Silence of the Lambs prequel series, Clarice, which is obviously going to be following Clarice, not played by Jodie Foster. We also have 2 new times for 2 NCIS shows. Los Angeles season 12 has moved to Sunday the 14th. We'll start its new time at 9 p.m. Eastern on CBS. At 10 p.m. Eastern on CBS is season 7 of New Orleans. And then we also have Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Sunday the 14th at 11 p.m. Eastern on HBO. And then Monday, the entire first season of the show The Crew airs on Netflix. This is Kevin James playing someone in a NASCAR pit crew. I think it's a comedy. Not sure if I'll check that out, but I don't think I'll check any of these out except for The Great North, which I already have. Alec.
Yes, sir.
We got a little bit of time.
Yes, we do. We have about 15 minutes.
What are you thinking, buddy?
I was wondering how you refer to Gatorade or Powerade.
How I referred to it?
Yes. So if I were to say, I'm going to buy Gatorade, what would you like? Do you refer to it by the flavor that Gatorade gives it, or do you refer to it by the color? I know the majority of people that I know that drink Gatorade refer to it by the color.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. It depends who I'm talking to. Because I know the difference for the ones that I like, at least. And if I know that person knows, like if my mom were to be like picking them up and she's like, what do you want? I'd say Frost Glacier Freeze, please. Because that's my my favorite. Or orange, which is both the color and the flavor.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Those are my top I think those are my top two. I haven't drank Gatorade in a little while. The white cherry is good, which is also white.
Mm-hmm.
And I called that white cherry. The one that there's like two bluish colors, and I'm a little bit colorblind, so I can't tell the difference
between the cool blue and the Arctic Blitz.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I get those mixed up.
The Arctic Blitz is closer to like a green almost. It's like a bluish green.
Okay, so blues, greens, and purples are a little hard for me. There's also one that I think looks kind of purple that I also get confused with cool blue.
I don't know. Grape.
I need to... No, I know if it's grape. I do not like grape Gatorade.
I don't like grape either.
Yeah, that's a good question. It really does entertain me that a lot of people do just say like red for fruit punch. Red
yeah.
Gatorade.
Kind of red Gatorade.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that it's weird.
Yeah.
And, like, I wonder, like, where it started. Like, yeah. Who's like, oh, this flavor is blue.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a flavor.
Yeah.
And there's multiple blue Gatorades, which obviously we're discussing there.
Too many, probably.
So, I'm like, what?
There's also, I'm pretty sure there was a blue-colored one that was cherry-flavored. Oh, actually, speaking of that.
Oh my, I just got him on the Gatorade's website and I see all of it.
Yeah.
It's like a color wheel.
Really?
Yeah.
Gatorade.com?
Yeah.
I want to see this. While we're looking this up, this made me think of something else that I just read.
Fierce Blue Cherry.
Is that the blue
That's
one?
That's the blue cherry.
Yeah, that one's good.
And
have you had that?
Cool Blue Grape.
What do you click? Hydration?
No, I just went to it's Gatorade Hydration Thirst Quencher, and then I like found flavors.
Interesting. Yeah,
Frosty Ice Charge. I've never had that one. That's like a baby
blue.
Oh
yeah, here we go. I'm looking at it.
Frost Glacier Freeze. That one's good. Frost Arctic Blitz.
Oh, that's cool.
Tropical Cooler. I've never had that one.
Fierce Fruit Punch Berry sounds delicious. But yeah, before I get mouth starts watering looking at different colored liquids. yesterday I found out, you know, the popsicles that everyone eats during the summer that are like the clear tubes.
Yeah.
They're called Otter Pops. It's like the brand that
didn't know they ever had.
Yeah.
Like
it's
a
like,
brand.
There's so many different brands of it, but it's like Band-Aids.
Oh yeah.
You know how they're actually adhesive bandages, but the one that started it all was Band-Aids.
Yeah.
So Otter Pops are like the first ones that did it. They invented blue raspberry flavor. They mixed, they already had strawberry and raspberry color, I think, which were both red. And they didn't... No, they already had strawberry, and they wanted to include raspberry, but they already had a red, so they just made it blue and called it blue raspberry. And that's how blue raspberry was born. And then since then, they've altered the flavor a little bit to make it more distinctive from strawberry or a regular raspberry. But yeah, that happened in 1986.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
learned
weird.
That yesterday. Yeah.
But looking at this website, there's so many flavors that I didn't even know they had.
Yeah, like, also, some of
lime,
these aren't flavors.
Lime cucumber.
I've had that. It's bad.
Is it?
Yeah. There's, like, a whole kick. I remember in high school, everyone was like, did you try the cucumber Gatorade yet? And I'm like, no, let me try it. And I drank it. I'm like,
Citrus Cooler.
That sounds kind of good. Tell me what flavor comes to mind when I read this one to you. Frost Icy Charge.
I have no idea.
What does that taste like? Cold?
I guess. I don't know.
Like that, you know, when you open the fridge and like the freezer burn taste comes out? Does it just taste like that? That's ridiculous.
I'm looking at it.
I'm going to have to try that
now. I'm looking
at
it. I got to find it. Should I just like order a bottle of it?
Oh, it's like fifth from the left.
Yeah, I see it. I found it.
You could probably.
Can I seriously just buy like one bottle from here?
Probably. Oh, you know what's good?
Oh, Walmart.
The green apple one's good.
The green apple?
That tastes like a melted down lollipop.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's like really accurate. Yeah. None of these Gatorades are really bad now that I think about it.
No, there's not. Watermelon
is probably.
I don't like that one.
Really?
Yeah. My coach gets that for like the locker room between periods. I can't drink that. Mm. I bring my own.
Do you think it's just because you are so used to it?
I think it may have something to do with like actually working out.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I can't, like, if I'm like playing or working out, I can't drink anything with flavor. So I have to drink water like while I'm doing it. But if I'm like resting, certain flavors taste bad to me. I don't understand.
I like Gatorade better warm. Not warm, like room temperature.
Ah, yeah.
Like we used to, I think it loses a lot of its flavor when you keep it in the fridge. I don't know why that is, but I like discovered it at home. Like I forgot to put more Gatorade when, you know, you get those huge pallets of it. We would get those and I drink all the ones from the fridge and I forget to put more back in. I'm like, I'm really thirsty. I don't have time for this. And I'd crack it out of the pallet and I'd drink it. And I'm like, this tastes like just more. More intense when it's not cold.
Well, like from like a lot of like bottles of iced tea, Gatorade bottles, water bottles. Like if we buy like cases of those things, they just sit on the front porch.
Yeah.
The side porch. Like they don't come in the house and go into the fridge because we don't have no space for that. So we just leave it outside. And normally it's fine outside.
Yeah, that's what we do. We just stick it in the garage.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Also, look at the fierce strawberry color.
Yeah, it's like pink.
It's like such an intense pink. That is so appetizing to me. I don't know why. It looks so good and it's just color.
I don't know. But yeah, it's literally like a color wheel on their website. It's kind of cool. We're giving a free ad to Gatorade.
Yeah, it's weirdly fun. It's weirdly fun like scrolling through this.
I know.
All right, wait. If I click on Frost Icy Charge, will it tell me what it tastes like?
I don't think so. I tried that and it just goes to like buy this product.
Form or format.
Icy free. There you go. Frost Icy Charge. Gives me like the what does it taste like?
Frost Icy Charge flavor.
Like Gatorade. Can I call someone from Gatorade right now? Be like, yo, what does this taste like?
Oh, okay. It's pineapple lime. Huh. Or tropical flavor.
Yeah. But they have tropical.
Yeah. And then Arctic Blitz is watermelon honeydew.
I didn't know that, like that, but I do like Arctic Blitz.
I hate honeydew, but I do like watermelon. So I don't
Arctic
know.
Blitz is actually pretty good. Like I would never guess that it was honeydew flavored.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I'll give them credit. Gatorade makes very appetizing looking liquid,
especially on their website.
Yeah.